Crime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter at iGuestInfo. Send us your questions and we'll try to answer. Now enjoy the show.
One of the hottest things going on in Seattle right now, and there's so many hot things going on in Seattle, but one of them is this fantastic guitarist that Mexico is sharing with us. He's been in the Seattle area since 2006, originally from Mexico. His name is Rafael Tranquilina, and you cannot be in the Seattle music scene and not know who Rafael is. He is hotter than hot, and we happen to have Rafael with us today. So thanks, Rafael, for coming on.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Just absolutely thrilled to have you. Tell us about your journey, Rafael. You started playing music at a very young age, and that's kind of led you to where you are today.
Yeah, actually, you know, I was born in Mexico City, and you know, I was, you know, my father is a musician too, you know, so I've been in the music, you know, around the music, you know, since I was really little, you know. All my family are musicians, you know, and the thing is that I used to see my father play music, you know, and I just, you know, I was really excited to see him, you know, like playing the guitar and playing blues and all that, and it's like, I didn't understand why he was crying, you know. And it's like, why is he crying while he's playing guitar, you know? And it's like, he was playing blues, you know?
Right.
So
right.
He was enjoying the blues. He was feeling it, you know? And so I got into it, you know, really little. And so I started playing all over the place, you know, like around the neighborhood and stuff. And then when I was older, I went to the music school and I started meeting people and I started... when I was 17 years old, and I did a lot of touring in Mexico, but it wasn't until 2006 when I had the opportunity to come here to the States and had the first opportunity to play in a blues band, you know, from America, you know, the Randy Axel band, you know, and ever since, you know, I haven't stopped, you know. I've been playing all over the place, like just doing, you know. I'm more known as a blues musician, you know. It's a funny sound, you know. But I've been on the rock too, you know. So it's like a all different experience in my life, you know. I had the chance to play with awesome blues musicians and also. Learning, you know, new styles of music too. You know, I've been playing, been learning more jazz and some. You know, so the thing is that I love all the kind of music, you know, and now I can tell you that I've been finding myself, you know, lately, you know, I've been hearing a lot of. Messages from Jimi Hendrix, so it's like lately Jimmy, it's kind of like Jimmy's telling me, hey dude, you know, this is your opportunity, you know, you have to go and get it, you know. So it's funny because Jimi Hendrix got famous in Europe, you know, and he was from here, you know. And so it's kind of like, so it's kind of happening for me, you know. It's, you know, same way, you know, I'm from Mexico and my music is being recognized in the U.S., you know, more than it is in Mexico, you know. It's funny, you know.
It happens like that sometimes. Well, you started out when you got to the United States in the Randy Oxford band, but now you have your own band, the Rafael Tranquilino band, that's just taking off and playing all over the Pacific Northwest. In fact, you guys were named the best blues band by the Tacoma Weekly magazine, which around here is a really big honor.
Yeah, totally. I wasn't expecting that, you know. It was a surprise for me, actually, you know, because, you know, I've been working really, really hard, you know. 2 years ago, when I started my own project as a Rafael Tranquilino band, you know, I pushed really hard, you know, But I wasn't expecting that, you know, last year, you know. It was like, you know, I got a call and said, hey, you are voted as the best blues band in Tacoma. It's like, are you serious? That's really cool. That's awesome. And one of the things is that I have two projects, you know. The one is the Rafael Tranquilino Band, and the other one is just Rafael Tranquilino, you know. And Rafael Tranquilino Band is a lot of blues, you know, and we do all these blues festivals, and the Rafael Tranquilino, it's a little bit more rock, you know, it's a little bit more, it's louder, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, it's crazy, you know. You know, so the cool thing is that I like taking it to the next level, you know. So even if it's blues, you know, you're gonna hear, you know, a little bit different touch, you know. It's kind of like blues rock delta, you know. I play a lot of slide guitar, you know, mm-hmm. and all that, you know. And I go a little bit nuts on stage too, you know. So
it's a great performer to watch. In fact, I want to play one of your songs right now. Let's see. Kevin sent over Back Down Engine Town. You want to tell me a little bit about that one?
Yeah, Back Down Engine Town. Back Down Engine Town is actually one of my hits. And Back Down Engine Town, it was one of those songs, you know, I was basically sitting down, you know, learning some slide guitar tunes, and I just, you know, came with the experience from a friend that loves slide guitar. You know, I kind of wanted to write a song for him, you know. And so that song, it was kind of like, I was gonna be in his radio show. His name is Oogie Richards from Mouthly Mouth Blues from NWCC Radio, and so I wanted to write something for him before the show, you know. So I just came up with a groove, you know, on the spot, you know, right before the show, you know. And ever since, you know, he was the first playing the song, you know, on the radio, and that's like one of the favorite songs, you know. So that song it's called Back Down Engine Town because it's kind of like being in a, you know, look, I'm in Tacoma, living in a city where the factories and you know all the culture of in Tacoma it's factories and all that, you know. So I kind of see myself, mm-hmm. you know, in a train every time I play that song, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, you know. So it's like back down engine town, you know what I mean?
All right. Well,
so, and it's all about the slide guitar, you know.
Well, we're going to let everyone listen to it, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. So enjoy Back Down Engine Town by Rafael Tranquilino, and we'll be right back with you.
All right.
We'll be right back.
can really tell why Rafael Tranquilina has exploded onto the Seattle music scene since arriving from Mexico City in 2006. And we're lucky enough to have Rafael with us today, and we're talking about his journey and his eclectic range of music, from blues to rock to funk to soul, you name it, he can do it. He's been named the best blues, he had the best blues band in 2012. I'm sure he has a lot more awards coming his way. He's going to be, I wanted to put this out there, Randy Hansen. We had done a great interview with Randy Hansen, just a legend in rock music a few weeks ago. And Rafael is actually going to be playing with Randy Hansen the 27th of July at Jazz Bones in Tacoma. And so I'm putting that out there now so that people can plan it. If you are out of the area, if you are in a city outside of Seattle, or if you're outside the state, you've got to make it over to Seattle and listen to all the great music going on. And Rafael and Randy Hansen are a huge part of that here in Seattle. And again, 27th at Jazz Bones in Tacoma, I'm really going to try to be there for that. That's going to be historic.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
It's going to be great. So, Rafael, how has the climate been for you as a Latino artist coming from Mexico City to Seattle? What was it easy to transition into the music scene as a Latino artist?
It was, one of the things is that I've been listening to, since I was a child, I've been listening to American music, you know, and it's because, you know, my dad, you know, was a big lover of B.B. King and Eric Clapton and all those bands, you know, and So when I was in Mexico, I used to play in top 40 bands that we used to do, like Led Zeppelin, Queen, Deep Purple, you know, and we did a lot of B.B. King too, you know. So the vision, what happens is that. I wanted to play music that was when I came here. I didn't know if I could be myself, you know, and I had an opportunity to play blues. Okay, you know, for first time, I said, well, you know, I finally I'm gonna play blues, for real, you know, and it was. The first time they heard me play, they say, "Hey, wait a minute, are you sure you're Mexican?" you know. So people were confused, you know, and you know, it's still, you know, people is like, "Are you sure you're Mexican? Because you can play like American, you know." I guess the opportunity that I had, you know, I guess I'm lucky, you know, I've been lucky to have the opportunity to really be myself without having the problem of, you know, like racist or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was like, oh no, you are Mexican and you can't do it. You know, I've been lucky to have all these fans following me, and because I say, well, you know, I'm from Mexico, you know, I'm not from here, you know, but I guess the transition, it was easier than I thought, you know.
Okay.
It wasn't that hard and. You know, it just took a while, you know, to get the place where I am right now. You know, it's a lot of hard work. It's just hard. You know, I always, you know, people always tell me, you know, how what is the secret to be successful? You know, and I say, well, there's not really a secret. You know, I guess you just have to work really hard. You know. You have to be yourself, you know. If you are yourself, you can get to big places, you know. And every time, you know, a good example is that no matter where I'm going, if it's a blues club, you know, I'm gonna play blues for these people. You know, they wanna dance. You know, you wanna dance. Okay, let's dance then. You know, you wanna scream. You know, well, let's scream. You wanna move your head. You know, let's do it. You know, so and also I appreciate that. Like I had gigs before where there's only two tables, you know, in the club. It's like, oh my God, there's no one in the club. There's only two tables, but I wanna play for those two tables. You know, even if it's just one person in the club, you know, I'm gonna play from my heart. You know, for that, for
wow.
those tables. You know, even if there's just if the bartender is in there, you know what I mean? You know, I'll play music for the bartender. You know what I mean? So that's something that. Uh-huh.
Well, it's absolutely amazing because there are fantastic, some of the great musicians on the planet are Latino, and I've always said that music is the universal language that every soul speaks, and so music transcends where you came from, where you've been, where you're going, where you were born, rich, poor, black, white, Latino, you know, if you came from Mexico or Nicaragua or Africa or wherever, music is a great equalizer. It puts everybody on the same field and makes everybody embrace each other at that human level. And that's just what I love about music and the arts. It does it every time, and you're just proving it once again.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that I always tell my other musicians that, you know, the music is, you know, some musicians are like you know, they don't know why they can make it, or why they they're not really successful. I said, well, to be successful, you know, you gotta forget about the borders. You know, I mean, there's no borders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music. There's actually a song. You know, probably it's gonna be in my next album. And you know, it's a song that is it's just instrumental, but it's inspired into the borders. You know, it's you know, there's no borders. You know, you gotta forget about the borders, you know.
Right.
The music can travel all over the universe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
There's no borders. If you break that, you know, that line, you break that border, you know, yourself, you know, you can get to another place. Like right now, you know, like I was telling some people, it's not about being famous, you know. It's not about being famous. It's about being yourself. Is about like your spirit. Your spirit has to, you know, you have to feel it. You know, your soul.
Right.
Your soul has to go to, you know, you have to find your soul, your spirit, you know, in another level, you know, and the music helps that, you know. It's kind of like when you have a headache or you are sick and stuff, you know, like when that happens to me, you know, once I step on the stage, I forget about everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all about the music. It's all about just doing it. The music is a big connection between you and the universe. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's it's, you know, and it's always exciting. You know, I'm 31 years old now, and I feel like I'm a teenager. You know. You know, I'm always
right.
excited. I'm always nervous. You know, before a show, I'm like, ay. You know, and that's what it makes it cool. You know, that's, and I guess that's why so many people follow my music. You know, all over the place. You know,
absolutely. I could not agree more. Now, this weekend you're going to be playing with a blues band from Mexico in Everett. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the place where I'm gonna be. So anyway, so I can tell you a little quick about this band. This band, their name is Heavy Nopal, which is which is a big band from the 80s. You know, they came out in the 80s, and it's and when I was little, I used to listen to their music. You know, it was kind of like, in Mexico, that band is kind of like the Rolling Stones, you know. So for me, it was really cool, you know, because I was like 12 years old, and I was in my bedroom listening to their music, learning their music, and jumping here and there, you know, that kind of thing. And it happens that the leader of the band, you know, is, you know, grew up in the same neighborhood where I grew up. So when I was about 17, 18 years old, I met him, and they invited me to play with them, and I played with them in Mexico here and there. And now that we're older, you know, every time they come to the area, you know, they call me up. It's like, hey, you have to play with us, you know. So it's really, really exciting, you know. Every time
awesome.
they come to this area, you know. And also, I'm gonna be doing some other tourings with them. So it's really cool because it's people always ask me. So is there blues going on in Mexico? You know, because you know many people don't know about it, but yeah, there's a lot of blues in Mexico. There's a lot of blues. There's a lot of rock, you know, and just different kind of music, you know. It's extends, you know. It's amazing, you know. So one of my influences is this band, you know. So if you can check their website, heavynopal.com, so I'm gonna be playing with them this weekend, and the following weekend actually I'm gonna be playing with
Well, you have Pamela Parker coming up, too, that you're going to be playing with in San Francisco and all up and down the coast on that. And people can find out more about where you're going to be at MauriceTheFishRecords.com, which is your record label, Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, The Fish Records. And then, of course, you're also on Reverb Nation. So people can find you, they can find your music at Reverb Nation. And then you just / Rafael Tranquilino if you want to go directly to him, but you can find him on Reverb Nation along with all of his music. And we have a song coming up of Rafael's called Keep Away, and it's his new release. It's just coming out right now. We're going to let you listen to that, and we will be back in just a moment. was Rafael Tranquilino and his new single, Keep Away. Rafael, we dropped the call. His cell phone dropped, so we want to say goodbye to Rafael. It was a great time to be able to talk to him and listen to his music. And you can find, again, more information on Rafael Tranquilino at Reverb Nation. And please follow him and find out where he's going to be. And if he's going to be somewhere near you, he's going to be in Oregon, he's going to be in California, he's going to be all over the United States, so be sure to check him out. He's just a great guy with a soul for music. The other band that we have coming up today, I'm going to be talking with Scott, and Scott is from a band called Letters from Traffic. It's a seven-piece rock and soul phenomenal band that also is doing big things here in Seattle, and they also are touring around the country this summer, and you're going to be able to hear them. Scott's going to join us in just a moment. And I did want to take a little bit of time before I get Scott on the phone. I went to the REO Speedwagon concert last night. It was at the Northern Quest Casino in Spokane, and I had listened to REO Speedwagon so many times when I was a young teenager. And I want to say those guys are just true musicians. They still had it. They just brought the sold-out house down. There were young people. There were old people, I guess, like me. If you want to find the fountain of youth, learn to play an instrument because that just keeps you young. Everybody was just on their feet. Standing room only. Those guys could just play the guitar like nobody's business, and it was just the crowd just had a wonderful, wonderful time. Took me right back to 1982, 1983. I'm going to get Scott from Traffic on the phone right now, so I'm going to let you listen to their song Nova, and I will be right back with Letters from Traffic.
Oh, no, my head off the pack. See,
we prove it over and over and over again that there is just great music in Seattle, and the day that today is no different, and we are continuing to prove that point and hammer it home. We encourage anybody who is in Seattle to get out and listen and support live and local music, and we certainly invite everybody around the United States and the world to come to Seattle. We got great music going on every night of the week, all over, up and down the Seattle corridor. You can just find fantastic music playing all the time. I had the opportunity to see Letters from Traffic a few weeks ago at the Triple Door, standing room only, and there were people in the hallway. All the tables were taken. It was packed, and they put on a fantastic show, and I was thrilled to be able to get over there and see them. And I have Scott from Letters from Traffic with us right now, and I'm just, again, very happy to have Scott on and introduce everybody who hasn't heard Letters from Traffic to introduce him to the music today. Thanks, Scott, for coming on.
Yeah, you bet, Lori. I'm here with Brad as well. Brad's the saxophone player in the band.
Oh, great. Hello. Hi, Brad. Hi. Hi. You guys put on a great show at the Triple Door. I loved it. It was fantastic.
Thank you so much. We had a lot of fun.
You guys are ranked as one of the top 10 alternative bands in Seattle. How long has everyone been together?
It's a story, but the band itself, as it is right now, has been, we just hit a year with our current bassist. I've been doing this band for about 7 years. You know, it's always I think it's a process. Bands are more about the right people in a relationship than anything else, I think. And it's taken me that long to kind of, you know, rotate through various people to get to a point where I found six other people that are fantastic, that really show up and bring some passion and investment. So,
except for me.
Except for Brad. His mom is his friend, so we let him play.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, you got to throw people a bone every now and then.
That's right.
So you have a group now that looked obviously to me looked like everybody was gelling when I saw you guys at the Triple Door a few weeks ago. That place was just, like I said, was just packed. People were standing in the hallway. People were outside listening. The room was packed. It just seemed like you just were just enjoying yourself so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really what it's about. One of the comments that I get from a lot of fans is that there's a sense of honesty or sincerity that comes through when we play. And I think that really, again, that's about the relationships that exist between the band members. It's about the idea that when we perform, we're doing something that's true. You know, I mean, songs are stories. Performance is a way to tell a story. And you can tell a story with some artifice, or you can tell a story with something about it being like, this is who we are. This is the real deal. Even if it's through metaphor or through ideas, it's, you know, we're showing up in a way that's like very real.
Yeah, and to add to that, the other aspect of this is the performance, which we've grown over the years, gelled as individuals. And I think that sense that you're talking about where you have the audience can sense when people are enjoying themselves on stage. And there are a lot of bands, and I think something that separates bands with intensity from bands that don't have as much intensity is that the audience can clearly see that the band is really passionate and really enjoying every tune that they're playing, and they want the audience to be sharing that feeling with them. So
definitely, because the audience has fun if you're having fun. It's just infectious.
Right. And we've been learning how to do that. I think we still have. I think in some ways, I think we still have a ways to go in that department.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we'll probably be pursuing for a long time.
It's a lifelong deal. I think one of the things that we've observed in the past six, seven years or whatever, slowly over that period of time, is that when people show up, when the audience shows up, then we have a lot more fun. You know, it's not we practice every week, so. If we have a gig and there's nobody there, it's like, well, we already did this earlier this week. You know, it's just another practice. The difference between a performance and a practice is whether or not you're there and bringing what you have. So in that way, I've kind of really come to appreciate that it's all about the audience. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be telling what truth I can every time. you know, it doesn't matter who's there or what's going on. But when you're there, you feed me something, and my, you know, my process is to feed it back to you and to say, this is, it's not about us, it's about us, you know, capital U, us.
Right. Well, it's a reciprocal relationship between the artist and the audience. And
yeah.
When the audience feels it, and when the artist or the band as a unit comes out and they're smiling and they are just ready to play, and you see their relationship on stage where they're wanting to play together and they're putting up that energy, the audience, we feel it, and then it invokes that in us, and we want to give that back. I was telling them when we were on the break that I was at the REO Speedway concert last night, and I had to cover it for the radio. And those guys, they had a big one when I was a teenager, and they still had it last night. They were so good. And I looked around the audience. There were young people. There was, I hate to call myself old because I don't see myself like that, but older, more mature people. And they were just having a great time, but it was because the guys acted like they were having a great time. And it wasn't like, oh, gosh, you know, here we've been rocking out for 30 years and we're still on the road doing this. It wasn't like that at all. They acted generally happy to be there. And when I saw you at the Triple Door, it was the same type of thing. You guys were just really, that particular night for me, were just really funky and just, you were really kind of grooving together. And it just made everybody else just kind of groove together. And it just people were just talking, strangers would become friends, and we were all just kind of all connected through your music that night.
That's really, yeah, that's cool to hear.
That's really the goal, so.
That's right.
I guess we've done it.
We often.
We're there now. We can quit.
We encourage folks at our shows to introduce themselves to each other. Usually at some point during a show or a set, I'll stop and just say, hey, you know, why don't we do, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit weird, crazy, or whatever, maybe tonight, but turn, you know, look for somebody that you don't know and just tell them who you are, and maybe it'll, you know, maybe it'll be a passing thing, or it might be that that person becomes important in their life later on, but making those connections, I think that, you know, we want to create a space for people to become connected and find out who they are.
A space where people are just open to possibilities, as opposed to being closed to them.
The energy that you're talking about, that REO Speedwagon had, and that we bring to, we call that awesome. Like a noun, I usually put it all in capital letters when I refer to it, and it's this kind of special thing that I think every single person gets some awesome when they're born, for the sake of like getting to exist, you know, in this world and this society, and we go through it and we lend our awesome to everything that we give a little bit of our attention or a little bit of our time to. We give it some of our awesome. It's kind of our gift to the world, and that's what you show up with. That's what we show up with. But when you bring your awesome, we want to make your awesome feel bigger than ever. You know, we'll feed your awesome with ours, and then you give it back. And
I like it psychologically. I liken it to the idea that there's no reason, what do they call it, the fourth wall that's between the artists and the audience. I don't think that needs to exist, and that's one of the reasons why I'm in this band. It's because we don't hold that as something that wall, that's not something that necessarily needs to be there. We want to actually interact with our fans while we're performing and when we're off the stage as well. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 7-days-a-week job that we have. Putting that out, as opposed to just the music, you're also putting out that energy as a human being.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, when we went out to, we didn't stay for the whole thing because I had to go somewhere else, but I did stay for a majority of it. But we went out to get our car, and the valet, he was outside the Triple Door, and he was totally funking out and dancing, and because he could hear it outside, because, you know, the Triple Door, it's pretty close from the stage, you know, there's just a little wall to the outside, and so he was out there, and he was kind of grooving, and I'm like, oh, you get to hear the show, and he's like, yeah, you know, he says, it's just great, and I'm in a great mood, I'm getting people's cars, and so it was even going out onto the sidewalk, and when you're in Seattle, there's a lot of people, even at that time of the night, up and down the sidewalk, and so I don't know that you're aware, but not
only was it transcending what was going on inside the club, but outside it was there was this whole vibe going on as well as people were walking by and the ballet and getting the car and me getting my car. And I mean, when we were just really happy. It was a fantastic night. In fact, I will never forget that because it, like I said, it just transcended outside the club as well. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I have a hard, fast rule of performance, and I think Scott does too, and that is if we're entertaining the staff who has to listen to bands all the time, then we're doing it right.
Yeah, that's right. There are a few, I try not to write compliments, but there are a few people at every show who, if they tell me afterwards that they had a good time, it means something special, and that's usually the door guy. Mm-hmm. And the person working behind the bar. If they're mm-hmm. able to get in with what we're doing, then, you know, they can't leave. So
yeah, exactly.
That's kind of important. It's a special type of compliment for sure, yeah.
So where are you going to be playing next so that people can find out what we're talking about? I really want people to experience what I experienced that night because it was great.
Sure. Well, we'll on the 20th of April, that's 4/20, we'll be on Saturday night up in Everett at the Everett Music Hall. It's actually a seated venue. It has a dance floor in front of the stage, but it's kind of a special little deal. And then
300 seats,
yeah, something like that. And then we'll be in the Crocodile Back Bar on Wednesday, the 1st of May. And something going on in June.
That's another great venue. Is the Crocodile, and a lot of people don't know how to get to the Crocodile for sure.
Well, the back bar room of the Crocodile is an interesting scene as well because they have the main stage area, which is a lot of touring artists come through there, and you have opening acts and whatnot. But that back bar is really interesting because it's during the middle of the week on an evening, and you get a lot of tourists coming through because it's kind of a tourist destination, given its history and music scene in Seattle. And so the scene there is quite different. I think the audience that shows up there is an interesting.
We've played the front room at the Crocodile before. The first time Brad here ever came and saw Letters from Traffic was actually we were out on the big stage in the front room and we work our tails off for big shows like that. You know, usually chasing down fans and letting people know because it's really obviously a big deal how many people you can get to bring in. But when we play the back bar, it's just so much more intimate, and it's almost like we're kind of creating a magic little opportunity for people to discover what's going on rather than us like try to inundate the world with this thing and track down everybody that we can get to come out. When we do the back bar, it's kind of lovely and it's preciousness, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what are some of your favorite venues, and are there other venues where when you walk into it, you have more of a immediate feel of energy than maybe other venues that maybe you have to, and we don't have to name those, but where we have to work harder to kind of bring that energy out? Is there some venues where it comes more easily?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. We always do let folks know and always do try to get folks out. Just certain shows, there's a special challenge that I think exists in downtown Seattle in that there are a lot of bands. And there's...
saturation.
Yeah, it's really saturated. So for any show where that's in a big room, like generally the local bands have to work their tails off to make it powerful. So... Mm-hmm. We've been doing more kind of regional stuff lately. Another gig on the 1st of June, we're playing at the Madison Pub up in Everett, and we're putting together a little tour in August down in Oregon. They just kind of spread out a little bit.
Yeah, I think to answer your original question though, the location of the place you're playing is. That has a lot to do with the what you're talking about, where if you're playing somewhere that's isolated and doesn't have general street access, or you're really counting on people knowing you're there ahead of time in order to get there because they're not just going to happen upon you. So, you know, case in point, our gig at the Musicarium is Musicarium?
Musicarium.
Hello, I can pronounce it.
Triple Door.
The Triple Door is a fantastic one just because, like you said, it's on the street. People are walking by. They can hear it clearly from outside.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discovery in that type of place. The Crocodile Back Bar is another one. It's on a corner. It's on a major street with people walking around in Belltown. So really picking your venue in that regard is important, unless the venue already has a, you know, a name.
I do want to give a special answer or drop some of that's cool here. One of my favorite venues in downtown Seattle is Chop Suey, which doesn't quite have that. There's some other venues around it too that, you know, on a weekend, a lot of times you'll find some folks walking around, wandering around down there. But that is a room that, to me, the few times we've played there, has a real great energy. It's a beautiful place. There's a good sound. And
on Capitol Hill,
there's
tons of people walking around the weekend up there. And it's just one of those venues that people are very conscious that it exists and will go there
to see what's going on.
To see, you know, what's happening on the scene right now.
Yeah, we played we did a sold out gig there with a couple other bands for another band's CD release party. Afraid of Things. Binion played there as well for that gig. But, it was, man, I will tell you that the room was packed from the front door to the front door to the stage, and people were bumping and rocking. It was, to me, one of the most fun. I had my friend Ron did some visuals for us. He's animation artist, I guess. And so he just, like, live mixed while we're playing a lot of different pieces of video that he has, just dropping them in, layering them together. And we just moved the whole room. And they had to close the doors while we were playing because there was too many people that wanted to get in. And so to me, Chop Suey will always have a special place in my heart.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of good venues
right
in town. And I think, yeah.
But what I find is most of the locals know those venues, like what you're talking about, Chop Suey or Triple Door, or there's so many Jazz Bones, and, you know, it just goes on and on. But we have all those cruise ships that are coming in all the time, and we have a lot of tourists coming in, really from all over the world. There's a huge spotlight on Seattle right now, and I'm finding out that so much of the world wants to be in step with what's going on in Seattle. And we have people contacting us and listening in from really all over the world. And Ireland.
Jamming, no, ain't I the fortune? and one rodents humping along with the promise of the prodigal son. Still I'm just a jack, yeah, trying to make my money stand. Pack my guitar and a gun inside till I'm on my way. I ain't coming back. About what gets me high, gazing up at child reflections of sky. I could try to define what it means to me, this evolution through population. They have to see what's behind the facade of this alien thing, Marseille, emblem of a future king. I leave it under cap, my secret thunderclap. And I'm wondering why the hell I put up with this, up with this shit. Homecoming. Oh, ain't I the fortunate one? Roman. Setting foot in this goddamn town again.